If there were a question I would ask, and if you wanted to use a title, the question would be, just how far? Just how far? Now, you have to understand what Jesus is doing. He's recouping Peter, but let's go back to John 17. Now, I don't know if any of you have taken the time to read John 17. First time, now, I'm not an emotional guy. I'm pretty tough, I think. You know, they stick needles in me, cut me open, I look at it. Matter of fact, I've offered to help on the table, but they turned me down. I thought it was pretty neat, but not much bothers me. But the first time I read John 17, it affected me. It affected me because I realized how much Christ cared for me. How much he cared for me, how much he cares for you. Go back to John 17, verse 20. Debbie, would you like to read that? Okay, that's okay. Wow. Think about, we haven't gotten to the resurrection yet. We haven't gotten to the crucifixion yet. Somebody's up. We haven't gotten there yet, but here is Jesus taking the time to go on the mount. And he didn't just pray for his disciples. He prayed for us. So when I read this chapter, I like to put my name in here. Neither pray I for the 12 apostles, but I pray for Xavier also. I pray for Abraham also. I pray for Johnny also. And you begin to watch the story unroll and you begin to see how things happen. See, people talk about chapter 21, but Jesus came back. There's more to it than that. And you'll see it in a couple minutes. So here he is. We're getting ready to come up to the crucifixion. And who's at the crucifixion? Who's outside at the gate while they're punishing Jesus? Peter. Now, a lot of us, we can relate to Peter. We used to call it foot and mouth disease. When I was younger and much more flexible, I used to, you do something stupid, you take your leg, and you kick yourself in the butt. And people say, I just did something stupid. Well, I used to stretch pretty well. My martial arts and kung fu instructor could get his head over his shoulder, his leg over his shoulder. I could get mine here. Never tried putting it in my mouth since I was a kid. But Peter consistently put his foot in his mouth. And we relate to that. You know why? Because that's a normal guy. He's a normal guy. Gets out here, they're beating Jesus, and the girl comes out and said, I recognize you. No, you don't recognize me. And I guess he did what fishermen do. They tell tall tales. She said, it's kind of like the guy who caught a fish. I caught a fish this big. You've read that one, haven't you? And you had to look at it under the microscope. Oh, that's a pretty big fish. Here was Peter when they invited him in. No. But yet he stood there nearby. John was there. He could have gotten in. And I know you're with the man. No, I don't know him. You ever done that to a friend? I always tell my kids, if we're riding down the road, you fall out the car, I don't know you. Look, if we're going down in the lake and we're all drowning, I'm saving your mom, I don't know you. You know, they look at me and laugh, I'm serious. No. But the impact, here's Peter, I don't know you. Well, by the time we get around to chapter 21, we've now had the crucifixion, the resurrection, and Jesus has come back the third time. I know numbers mean things in the Bible, they mean significant things, and yet I don't like to get into numerology. But he comes back a third time after his death and burial and resurrection. Well, let's start reading chapter 21. And let's watch how the story develops. And John, I was going to have you read, but you don't. Dave, chapter 21, verse 1.
The first verse?
The first verse. And we'll work around the room. I think we might have enough for everybody to read. We'll figure it out. If we don't, we'll add something to it. Go ahead.
After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself.
Joel, next verse.
There were together Simon Peter and Thomas and Didymus, and Nathanael and Cana and Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other
disciples. That's who's crossing you off. Santa. Next verse. Verse
3.
What were they doing wrong?
They gave up.
What was that?
Wasn't
the bait. You could call it that. But what were they doing wrong?
They gave up and said, it's over. He's gone.
They quit.
Go back to what we used to do.
Let's what did Jesus tell them? I'm going to make you what? Fishers of men, not fishermen, even though that was their lifetime custom. Mm-hmm. They knew how to throw the cast, the rod, the cast, and that. They knew all that, but he said, I want you to be fishers of men. And the sad part is a lot of time when we come to Christ, we hit a rough spot, and guess what we do? We turn back to the old ways. You ever done that? You ever been so mad you just did something you know you shouldn't have done? He said, I want to make you fishers of men. And hey, brothers, let's go fishing. Hard-headed, like me. And my kids say they're stubborn, yeah, they got it from me. And if I tell you I'm stubborn, I got it from my mom. That's been my survival. That actually is what's kept me alive. God's grace and stubbornness he's given to me. So he tells them, I want you to be fishers of men. Peter, get the guys together. And it's always Peter. Peter wants to be that guy. Peter is that guy. He didn't come back and say, John, I want you to do this. Or Jen, he said, Peter, get the guys together. He said, I want you to do this, Peter. Next verse. Who's next? Horatio. Next verse. Go ahead.
But when the morning was now thin, Jesus was on the shore, but the disciples knew not that they were Jesus.
He presents himself. Sometime when God tells us not to do something, we do it anyway. He comes to us, and we don't even recognize it's him. They spent 3.5 years with Jesus. He washed their dirty feet. I'm going to tell you, you get to playing in the dirt, them feet get funky, they get dirty, they get crusty. I never forget when I learned how to wash my feet good, because I'd be playing sports and you get all that stuff up in there. He washed their feet. He said, I don't call you this, I call you brothers. 3.5 years, side by side, day and night. Kevin, how long have you been married?
2.5 years.
2.5. It rhymes. Forgive him this one time. Don't let it happen next year. But you know, it's like here I am. I'm here with this woman. She knows everything about me. I know everything about her, learning everything. And all of a sudden, I forget. Oh, here's my brother in the Lord struggling. We've been tight. And we've gone through a lot of things, and all of a sudden I forget. My good friend died. But that don't mean we stop the ministry. That means that it keeps going on, because that's the legacy that Christ laid down. But here these guys, they're supposed to be the ones building the church. They're the start of the church. And instead of doing what Jesus told them to do, they're out chilling. I bet you they had a brewski out there, because fishermen like to drink and fish. I haven't met many who don't. And those who, well, I ain't been fishing in years, so. Last time I went fishing, I think I was about 5 years old. So, well, let's keep going with this. Next verse. One of the little guys. Next, Omarosa. Go ahead. Okay, that's all right. Okay, good. Go ahead. You have to teach me so I understand. Go ahead. Okay. Now, one thing I know about fishing is you go fishing in the dark. You go fishing in the dark. You cast in the dark. The waters are still. I think the fish might be kind of blind. I don't know. But everybody I know, they go fishing in the dark. The waters are still. They can drop their bait, and usually they can get a fish to catch on. They've been out all night. It's sunlight now. And they ain't caught nothing. And what happens? Pastor.
Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, "It is the Lord." Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fishers caught unto him, but he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea.
Wow. Naked fishing? There are customs around the world that I don't understand. But you know what? I'll do research and learn about them. I may never try them, but I'll learn about them. But they were out fishing, and then all of a sudden they recognized, wow, the Lord is here. It took that long to recognize the Lord was there. He's had a full conversation. That sin does it to you. Sin blocks your vision. It blocks you mentally. It blocks you physically.
As far as the recognition, Jesus, this was Jesus in his resurrected body.
Yeah. When she first saw him, but this is the third time now.
Yeah, and the second afternoon, when they were going through Emmaus, two were right with them.
The first time for them. Remember the first time for those. This is the third time he's come to Peter and the guys. Not the first. This is the third. I would say, okay, first time, yeah. Glorified body. But here we are now the third time. The third time, and you don't recognize his voice. He's been teaching you. Sin blocks all of that. Let's keep going. Who's that? Joel, did you read already? So Kevin. Okay.
And the other disciples came in a little ship, for so they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes.
Next verse. Well, ain't that amazing? Did they really need to bring their own fish? They get to shore and Jesus has already prepared a meal for them. That's the way it's going to be when we get to heaven. When we get to heaven, God is going to already have a meal prepared for us. We're going to have some new clothes too. But he's going to already have it prepared. But he tells them, okay, they get to shore. He's got a meal prepared. And so Jesus said to them,
Jesus said unto them, bring them the fish which you have now caught.
So? Go ahead.
And he went up and
Now, you know what's interesting about that? All the folks that were there, a couple boats couldn't get the fish up. But now here's Simon Peter, and he goes up and pulls the net by himself. Is this Simon stepping forward again? He goes and pulls the net by himself. Something happened. Folk today would say he got Holy Ghost power or something. You know, the fish that nobody else could, boom, he's got them right there. Next verse. Remember we said the first time they didn't recognize him. The first, everybody that Emmaus rode, Mary, they didn't recognize him. The third time they didn't recognize him. And if Jesus was like most leaders today, he would have walked off and said, enough of you. And now here's the third time. And they finally recognize him. They recognize him, why? Because they're not out doing what they weren't supposed to do. They're doing what they're supposed to do. And he's getting them ready for something. That's what the 3.5 years was about. Yeah, I listen to people who argue about Jesus when he first sent disciples, told them, don't take script with you, don't take this with you, don't take that with you. And you have a bunch of pacifists in the world. And no change has ever occurred without the shedding of blood except for our presidency. And we don't know what changes occurred behind the door with them. But when Jesus sent the disciples out the second time, he said, take a coat with you, take a scrip with you, take these things. He said, but I want you to know, if they catch hold to you, they want to kill you. But in the hour that you speak, the Holy Spirit will speak for you. That's what all the preparation was for. That's what all the study time was for. So that the Bible would become, the Word would become life blood to them and to us. He wants the Word. That's why I struggle when I talk to Christians and they say, well, I don't have time to study. How much time do you spend eating? How much time do you spend talking on the phone? Listen to the radio. Going out to sporting events. How much time? How much do we need? I mean, I found starting out 15 minutes a day. Next thing you know, I'm reading an hour a day. I try to control myself when I read, and something gets exciting. I can't control it. I need to go further because I want to know what happens. And the song is, they know every morning, great is thy faithfulness. Every time I read God's Word, I learn something new. And I mean something new that I didn't know before. See things I didn't see. Where were we? What verse did we stop at? 11. Okay, now we have Simon drew the fish up. Verse 13, 12 or 13? 13. Okay, go. Next verse.
This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples. After that, he was given from the dead.
He could have stayed in heaven. There's something that was very important to him. Dying on the cross was very important to him because it was very important to us. But it was also very important to somebody else. And the next dialogue you deal with is that person who was important to. And I'll tell you why it was important when we get done. Verse 15. Who's next? Now, I want to kind of give you his attitude. Oh, bear with me a second. Jesus asked him a question. And that's a very serious question. His hands is like, yeah, I love you. You went up to greet somebody, and you say hi to him. Come here. Stephen. So I say hi to Stephen. Give me a hand. How you doing, Stephen?
Pretty good. Yeah.
What's my attitude? Let's do it again. How you doing, Stephen?
Pretty good, ain't you?
What's my attitude? I shrugged it off. Why? Because you know what? Well, you ought to know. And that was Peter's attitude. His attitude was a nonchalant attitude. So he goes, you can sit down. So he says, feed my lambs. And what are lambs? What are lambs? Not the chops you put on the grill.
Converts. Converts.
Yeah, what are lambs? But when you look at the animal and you say lambs, what are you talking about? Little baby sheep. Feed my kids. Feed my kids. Don't give me a nonchalant attitude about it. Feed my kids. How many times did Peter deny Jesus? This answer for the first time. Let's go back, next verse.
He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep.
Come here, Brother Seer. Now I want you to give me the shrug off attitude. Brother Sear, don't you know I love you, man?
Yeah.
You're supposed to blow me off. You're supposed to blow me off.
Yeah.
No big deal. It's still no big deal to Peter. It's still not a big deal. Because what has happened is Peter's got this mindset. I'm the guy. I want to be the lead.
You want a soft chair?
No, this is excellent, because if I go down low, somebody's going to have to help me out. Feed my lambs. Next verse. Now I want to take that and go up to Hebrews 10. Because I want you to see there's an aggressiveness here that needed to be there. You got Hebrews 10? Verse 23 through 26.
This is about
fellowship. Yeah, read it. Yeah.
Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. Underline that word provoke.
Provoke.
Underline. What does it mean to provoke?
Encourage.
Encourage how? Very strongly.
Get them hyper.
Get them hyped up. Get them fighting mad. Get them angry. Keep going.
One another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching.
or if we sin willfully after that which we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin.
He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And he did not mince his words. Don't beat me around the bush, Peter. I want a direct answer. I don't want you to blow me off. I know what you've gone through before, because I'm here to certify you and make sure you're ready for the work. Don't play me, Peter. This is not a game. This is serious. This is about your life. This is about the eternal life of millions of others. John 17, I pray not only for these, but for those who will believe on your word. And if Peter took a halfway attitude on the day of Pentecost, a lot of people would have been turned off to the church. That's what's happening today. Because people take a halfway attitude about their testimony. We dress up on Sunday, we put on church clothes, oh, we look nice. But the rest of the week, we look like Satan's minions. Because what we say and what we do don't match. And they walk, why not want to be around them? Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. Peter says, I'm going to go be a fisherman. So he came back at him. The first time Peter was approached when he was at the garden waiting with, and Peter said, I don't know him. Second time he was approached down by the hall, I don't know him. Third time, surely you're one of them, the maiden said. Then he started to curse. I don't know what it sounds like to curse in Greek. But whatever he said, it wasn't nice. And I'm kind of glad the Bible doesn't give us what he said. Because there'd be people out trying to use that on people. But, you know, so he says, verily, okay, lovest thou me more than these? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, you know all things. Now we're at the heart of the matter. Christ cannot work with you until he gets you where he needs you. He has to break you down. Who is it? I was just a David Jeremiah. God recklessly abuses those he graciously chooses, or something he was saying. But God cannot work with you till he breaks you down to where you're workable. I think about the stuff I went through when I came to Christ and some things that had to happen a little bit later in my Christian life. I am so thankful. Because I tell you, my wife's not in there this year. I will tell you, if God had not broken me down, I'd never met my wife. He had to break me down from all the foolishness. See, a lot of times you come into ministry and you run into things that seem okay, but then you realize they're not right, and then you get into habits. And God sent my wife. Tell you what else God did. In 1999, when I shut down the house of church I was pastoring, God sent me the straight gate. That's God's word. I sat on the left side over there and talked to Roger in 1997. And the first time I met him, my heart went in. Betsy, remember our saying, preach, pray, or die at a moment's notice? And they would look at us like we're crazy. But that's the truth. God has to do a lot of stuff to get you where he can use you, how he needs to use you. And he had to break Peter down to the finest molecule of his being and get rid of Peter's attitude. And then he was able to work with him. Not until he got rid of that could he work with him. Feed my sheep. Next verse. 19, or is it 18? Go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Let's make sure I can find it. let's see, chapter 12. Maybe 11 or 12, I got it. Find it. Let's see. Normally I have this stuff turned over. First part of it, verse 12. Chapter 12, verses 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And we got five people that can take a verse. We still got five people, five victims left over. Who did we stop at? Who was the last person to read?
One.
One.
Remember not thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years grow nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them.
Young people, now is the time. Old of us, I mean, I have to help walk around the house. Talking about a guy who played basketball, ran track, very agile, very active, constantly on the go. Now you got to get help to make it around the house. Remember now your creator while you're young. Don't wait till you get old. Next verse. The eyes start to change. I used to be able to sit on a county road and see the colors on a cow a mile away. I'd be out running and see that black and white cow over the hill and think, wow, now I can't even see the hill. Next verse. Ain't got a lot of teeth in my mouth. Some of us lose them all. I don't know if any of you ever met Sam Dalton. Sam Dalton was an evangelist. He traveled all over North America, Canada, Mexico. And he became Grandpa Sam to my kids. And one day he was playing with the kids. He said, you want to see something? The kid said, yeah. So he stuck his teeth out. He said, be true to your teeth or they will be false to you.
Yeah.
Scared the daylights out of my kids. Because they kept asking, are they real? Yeah, they real. Paid for it too. Pearl said the day he died, he said, hurry up, get my teeth. Because people come and say, I want to look good. And then that was it.
Well, my eyes don't offend me. I can take them out here.
Yeah. There you go. Next verse. Are you depressed yet? Let's go back over to John. Now, where were we? Verse 18, did somebody read that already? Read 18? Let's read it again. I'll read it and then we'll go to 19. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest wherever thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest. Next verse. And see what he's talking about here. Verse 19. Who's got it? Come on, don't be scared. I don't bite. Well, I do if you got a piece of chicken in front of me. Yeah. Follow me. Keep reading. Because we got another little situation you got to clear out of Peter, too. And we got a few minutes to do it. Next verse.
Then Peter complained about it, seeing that he said that he needs to love the Father. But also, he did not confess the supper and said, Lord, if you feed us the Pharisee.
Next verse.
Peter seeing him fail to be the Lord, and what shall this king do?
Next verse. John chapter 21, verse, what verse, what's next? 22. You ready? Next verse.
that Jesus said unto him, you shall not die, but if I live that until you feel I come, what is that to you?
Okay. Now, whose business was it, what happened to Judas? Whose business was it? Was it any other disciples' business? Is it our business? That's God's business. Nothing like going to a funeral and somebody asking, where does somebody go? That's God's business. I'm out of it now. But while that person's alive, I have the opportunity to share the gospel with them. Peter got his nose in the way again, and Jesus said what? Follow me. Forget all the other mess. Follow me. And that's what he's saying to us. All these little battles and little afflicted things are gone. Jesus said, let that mess go and follow me. Because when we follow him, all we're going to do is his will. But when we try to figure out everything else, we're messing in God's business. And I'm going to tell you what, I learned a long time ago, I can't fight God. And we need to learn that. So the impact of this is simply this. How far would you go for a friend? How far would Jesus go? He died on the cross. He rose again. He ascended up into heaven to prepare a place for us. He's coming back again. But before he left here, he left Peter to do some work. And no, he was not the first pope, as these folk who wore the funny suits dressed. But he was the one that Jesus left to lead. And Jesus had to get his leader in order so that people would follow who? Follow Peter? Follow who? Follow Jesus. That's what we got to do. He gave him three responses back to the three stupid things he did, broke down his nature and his character, and then built him back up in the spirit to do the work of following him. If you're going through something, you need to ask yourself a question. Am I going through it because of my sin or because it's something God is trying to change in me? Most of the time, it's something that I've done. So what is the remedy? Repent. Scripture says if we are faithful, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Did it say part of it? It said all. Scripture says, but my God shall supply all your needs. Wait, did I say all again? All your needs according to his riches and glory. Did he say part of them? He said all. I can do all things through Christ. All things or part things? All apart. All things through Christ who strengthened me. So when are we going to let Christ strengthen us and stop bickering and going back and forth with crazy stuff? He came back to straighten out Peter. He left 1,189 chapters to straighten out us. And if you're not willing to get into it, then you suffer by yourself. I will tell you, it's not pretty. It's not fun. But I will tell you, once he takes you through, it's amazing. Any questions?
Yeah, I was going to say, I really don't know all the significance of this. The first time Jesus approached the disciples and told them to cast their nets up, their nets broke.
Yeah.
And this time, Peter drug it and it didn't break.
It was a miracle. I don't know the significance of it either.
Well, I think the Lord was just trying to
heal
Peter.
Yeah.
He was strengthened.
Yeah.
So, just what he
was saying. Yeah. Any questions?
I think there was
fish
where
Moses was. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm probably taking too much time. But one of my favorite things to do is fry fish. I love frying fish. It's because the Lord had to use my mom's lightning slap to get me in line. And ever since then, I've been frying fish. So if you want to bring some fish over my house, I'll seize it and we'll sit down and help you eat it, you know. So, but any questions? Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of studying your word together. Lord, we always look at the life of Christ when we want to learn. We look at what he was teaching Peter, and what he's teaching Peter, he's teaching us to lean on him, to follow him. So Lord, give us a heart with the desire to follow you, to lean on you, to trust you for everything. Let us not get ahead of you, but let us always follow you. Christ is King. That's all that matters. Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's the most important thing that could ever happen in this world. As long as Christ is Lord, everything will be kept in place. Now we pray, Father, as we prepare to go into morning worship, that you would open our eyes so that we might see, open our ears so that we might hear. Give us desire to do your will, and we'll give you praise and glory. For we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Oh, yes, please.